Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Today, Sharon Morrissey joins us once again. Sharon, the UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County. She has wonderful information to share every time she's on. We're going to talk with her about something called winter sowing. Maybe you've heard of it. Doesn't involve a needle and thread. It involves sowing some seeds. We'll be talking with her about that and certainly hoping to hear your experiences, maybe with winter sowing, maybe with other things relating to the garden. Give us a call with your questions and experiences at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our page, and love to have you on. And Sharon Morrissey, welcome.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's my pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's always great to have you come by and visit with us. And let's, you know, it's too early to be starting seedlings, but it's not apparently too early to start what's known as winter sowing. And I honestly don't know anything about it. What is winter sowing?
Well, one of your callers introduced me to this, I think it was exactly a year ago now, and I had never heard of it. I was very skeptical. I can't say that it's based on any kind of university research, but there is a website that is called Wintersown, SOWN.org, and it has to do with sowing seeds in sort of mini greenhouses, things like milk jugs, soda bottles, fast food containers, etc., that can get light into the seeds, and you put them outside during the winter. And then when the conditions are right for them to germinate, as they naturally would, they will germinate and start to grow. So obviously it works for things that have this kind of a climate that they can take some cold temperatures, but then when they start to emerge, they need a little bit of protection so they don't freeze completely. But there really are quite a few things that you can do this way. And when I researched it online as far as trying to find some university research base on this, I found that there are a lot of master gardener groups in Wisconsin and around the country that advocate this, have used it with great success. And I have to say, I tried a little bit of it last year and was kind of pleasantly surprised. It's kind of an interesting and fun way to get started with your gardening early in the season.
So you put the seeds, and frankly, if on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, Brooke sent a photo of 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, about 20 containers that are for her winter sowing. And she says, I'm just getting this out. This is perfect timing. They're just ready for the seeds right now.
Yes, it is time. The website, the .org website, has soda bottles with just the tip of the soda bottle sticking up out of the snow, you know, a dozen of these soda bottles. And the idea is that you cut cut the top of the bottle. Let's say it's a plastic bottle of a 2-liter bottle of soda, or a milk jug, or any kind of container that has a clear top to it so it can get some light. And you cut that, but not all the way through. So it has sort of a little hinge where you haven't cut the portion. And you cut it about a third of the way up. You put soil in it, sow the seeds into it, and cover the seeds at the depth that's recommended for those seeds to germinate. Then you tape around that opening so that the top is held on, and put it out in the snow. You leave the cap off, and that allows for some air to ventilate, because on warm days, sunny days, later in the season, it will get quite hot in there, and you could really cook the seeds. You have to make sure that you provide some drainage in the bottom, so just cutting some slits in the bottom so that water can drain through the soil. And you leave them and wait for them to germinate.
And then, are they germinating? Are you going to have seeds? Are they going to be better seedlings?
Not necessarily. It's just that you can start a lot of seedlings this way without having to have a light set up.
Yeah.
Because you're getting good natural lighting, and the seedlings are going to start growing at the time that they're ready, when the conditions are ready for them. When I did it last year, the thing that was most successful was the lettuce. And I found that because I used milk jugs, it was really hard to get the seeds sown thinly enough. We all have a tendency to just put too many seeds in.
Yep.
So they were pretty dense. So once they started to emerge and my soil in my garden was ready to work, I took out this block of seedlings and roots and kind of broke it up into pieces and then just put them into the furrows where I would have planted my seed. And lo and behold, they grew. And I thinned them out somewhat, and I had beautiful romaine lettuce like I've never had before because I could get them started early and get them out in the garden early and get them going. So those are the things that are best for this method.
Oh, it sounds just wonderful. And it looks like, Brooke anyway, Brooke Lewis, who's posted that photo for us, is certainly going to have a lot of seeds working. And I was looking at the weather forecast for this weekend is going to be pretty nice across most of Wisconsin. But next week, the southern half of the state, at least, is going to be in for, 14, 15 inches of snow.
Yeah, so I hear. It might actually be perfect. Because the snow insulates, you know. It'll insulate those seedlings the seeds for quite a while. And, you know, you can't expect a lot to happen until it starts to warm up some. So you can do flowers this way and you can do vegetables this way. And I would select the vegetables that we would normally plant very early in the season outdoors. So things like lettuce, all of the different lettuces and all of the different greens that you would put into a salad. Spinach.
Peas.
You may be able to do peas this way and get them started. Sure, I would think so.
Fun to try anyway.
Yeah, because they can definitely take cold temperature soils. That's one thing. And they can tolerate some moisture in the soil, too. So it's those cold soils that are the hardest thing for seedlings to tolerate. Like beans probably wouldn't do very well because they need the soil to be warmer before they start to germinate. If you put them in cold soil, they'll rot. Beets, root crops, probably hard to get those transplanted later on.
Yeah.
But you still might be able to be successful with this method of having this block that you break up into chunks and then plant just a small chunk where you would have planted individual seeds and space them at their final spacing so they've got the room in between. I would think that you could do chard this way.
Yeah.
Let's see, beets, onions, carrots, those are things, radishes, those are things that you do very early in the season. And again, as long as you got them started and then moved them before they started to development of a root, you could probably do those.
Mm-hmm.
I tried tomatoes and peppers because this group, the organization, does say that you can do that. They did start to germinate, but not until the end of May. So that didn't help me a whole lot.
No.
So thinking about seeds that might self-sow in your garden, especially flowers that self-sow, they're going through that natural cycle of dropping seed in the fall or during the summer. It overwinters. It gets its winter stratification, which is the cold temperatures that some seeds need for dormancy. It gets some scarification from the freezing and thawing, and that means that the seed coat breaks, and then those seeds emerge. And so anything that self-sows and comes up from seed the next year in your garden could be done this way.
So it's
a fun thing to try. I'm going to get my milk jugs out from last year, wash them off real good, and get started again myself.
A listener called in, who's the voice of experience here, I think, and said, it is very important to very clearly label your jugs.
Yes, they do emphasize that on the site. She recommends on the site, the originator of the site recommends using a piece of tape or something on the bottom and then writing on the tape. I just wrote right on the jug with a Sharpie. The reason she does it on the bottom is that she uses a Sharpie marker that's not resistant to UV light. If you use the Sharpies that are marked industrial, super permanent ink, those are resistant to UV light, and they won't fade. And that's good for just writing on plant labels during the summer, too.
There you go. Sharon Morrissey, our guest today. Great to have her along for this edition of Garden Talk. We started out talking about winter sowing, which is seems like a lot of fun to me. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to have to get that going. I've got some jugs I can pull out. I'll give it a shot. You can join in, too. And by the way, Garden Expo is coming to Madison February 12th through the 14th. On the 13th, I'll be there giving a talk with a couple of experts, Lisa Johnson, one of them. And we will be having a lot of fun there. And I have some tickets. I have three pairs of tickets today. And Brandy Funk, our on-air producer today, is ready to take the first three people who call with a question and want the tickets. Brandy will take your name and address, and we won't mail them to you, but the name and address for us will allow us then to identify you when you come to Will Call at the Dane County Expo Center. And so three pairs of tickets, and join in, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller with Sharon Morrissey from UW Extension. She's the hort agent for Milwaukee County on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Net of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest Sharon Morrissey. Just to mention, next week we'll be exploring native garden planting and maintenance with Neil DeBall from Prairie Nursery, an internationally known expert in the native gardening area, and so it'll be fun to talk with him. But right now, having a great time talking with Sharon. We've visited so far about winter sowing, but obviously there's a lot more things we can talk about, too. Let's turn to Judy in Grafton now. Judy, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, actually, I think I was the person that called you a year ago about winter sowing.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah, I've done it for a couple years now. I work at a care center and do that with the residents. In fact, we did that yesterday and parked our pots out in the snow, and we're looking forward to them being covered with snow if that big snowstorm comes, because that's good to insulate them right now. But my question was, we did not water them, and I cannot remember, am I supposed to water those seeds with that initial planting, or is it okay that we just put them out?
It's better to water them. The best way to do it is to wet the soil before you sow the seeds, because that way you don't have to worry quite so much about washing them away. But if you've already sown them, you can do that. You just have to do it where you're sprinkling with a light sprinkler, like the hose on the sink works real well, in your kitchen sink.
Yeah.
It is a good idea to water them and make sure that you've got drainage in the bottom. I have to emphasize that, so that water can run through. They can't sit in water.
Oh, right. Yeah, we make slits in the bottom, and we also make slits in the top, and then we leave the cap off.
Yes.
Yep.
And believe me, it works beautifully. It's so fun for our residents to see these plants start popping up just, on their own when they know it's right.
And really early in the season, too, when you're really itching for something green to start popping out of the ground, this stuff will be popping out probably earlier than even your crocuses and your snowdrops and that kind of stuff.
They do, but one thing I have to disagree with you, I think that the plants that come up like that are hardier. Before, you mentioned you didn't think there really was a difference, but I think there is. I think those plants, because they come up, they'll see that stratification or whatever, they seem like they are much hardier plants. You said your lettuce really, turned out well, and that may be why.
Well, I think part of it is that we don't have to worry so much about acclimating them to the outdoors from the indoors. We talk about hardening off seedlings that you start indoors, and you have to kind of prepare them for that shift into the new environment with more wind and harsher lighting and different temperature ranges. And so they are acclimating right in the jug, right outside, right in place. So, yes, you could be more successful because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible.
Anyway, okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Judy.
Sure. Have fun doing it.
All right. You too.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot for calling. Janet in Verona, you are next. Hi, Janet. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm wondering if it's too early to do that for any type of squash plants.
Oh, squash.
Well, that's a very good question. Sometimes squash will, I'm thinking to how squash seeds work. If you have squash seeds that are left in the garden because you just didn't get everything cleaned up last year, generally you won't have them germinating if they've just been laying on the soil for the winter. Sometimes you'll have squash plants that germinate and grow in your compost pile or something.
Yeah.
And that's because they've had that protection. So I would question whether squash seeds can tolerate the really cold temperatures they're going to get between now and when it is time for them to grow.
Okay.
But it's certainly worth a try. And yeah. I would only put a couple in each milk jug. They're going to need room for them.
Going to need some room to grow.
Yeah.
Thanks, Janet.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And let's go to Renee in Platteville next. Oops, just a minute here. I got us off on the wrong. I'm fiddling around here with the computer screen is what my little meanderings, mumbling is about here, Sharon, and everybody else. Now we've got Renee in Platteville on board. Let's go. Hi, Renee. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I was wondering if you've had any experience starting kohlrabis in the wintertime.
Well, I haven't. I did do some coal crops for the winter sowing, and I found that they didn't germinate early enough to get a real head start, that they really seemed to benefit from having warmer temperatures and to get a good seedling going before you put the plant out. And so if that's what you're asking about with kohlrabi, if you're thinking about starting it indoors, with all of the coal crops, they tend to be better started off in, let me see here, I have to get my right publication up. They do better being started indoors in probably March, I would say late March, because that's going to be when they have about 4 to 6 weeks before you're going to transplant plants outdoors. And they do need to get outdoors early so they have nice cool temperatures to grow in. They do best in the cool temperatures. So late March or early April in the southern part of the state, sowing seeds for all of the coal crops indoors is when it's recommended to be done.
There we go.
Great. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. I've got to check in with Brandy Funk, our on-air producer. Have we got all three of our... All right, we already have our three groups of sets of tickets gone, so no more tickets. But, hey, you can still join in with a question or comment, and I hope you will. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. I knew that wouldn't take long. Julie in Belleville, your turn. Hi, Julie.
Hi. I just wondered if the snow melts or if there isn't snow, if you put the, you just put the containers, where do you put them then, just outside?
Yeah. And that's what I did last year. It was just we had a little bit of snow on the ground, but it was hard, and I couldn't, you know, like sink the jugs in or anything. I just set them on top of the soil where my garden was. But I was thinking about this year putting them someplace else, like on my patio or something like that, where it was easier for me to get at them than having to go out to the garden to water them. So they don't have to be covered with snow, but if it does snow on top of them, it works very well.
Okay, and also then in full sun is...
Yes.
Yeah.
All fun. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Julie. Sounds like a lot of fun to me. I'm looking forward to giving this a try.
Yeah, and I'm almost reluctant to be recommending it because it's not university research-based information, but it does fit with the science of horticulture and seed germination when you really think about it. We're providing this microclimate for them. We're giving them the conditions that they will have naturally, and they will germinate and grow at the time that the conditions are right, where they would have done so naturally anyway.
Yeah, there we go. Larry in Oshkosh has something for us. Let's go to Larry. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I start quite a few plants ahead of time, especially new varieties under lights in my basement, and I do have a heat pad to put them on. I'm wondering, is there some general rule as to which plants kind of thrive with bottom heat under the flat versus just it's in the basement, so the basement is relatively cool because there I don't have any outlets down there open. Probably 55 degrees would catch it, maybe 60. Is there any general rule on which ones benefit from heat?
I don't know of any specifics. I know that in general, it is always recommended to use bottom heat to start seedlings indoors and to grow them indoors. Now, those warm soil temperatures that you're providing by putting a heat mat underneath the flats encourage good root production. And you have the perfect situation because you have cool air temperatures. And those cool air temperatures and the addition of the supplemental lighting you're providing will develop a nice, strong, sturdy, nice, compact seedling versus having a seedling that's stretching, which it will do. It'll get long and elongated between the nodes if it's warm and if there isn't sufficient light. So, you're probably trying to figure out if there are ones that you don't have to put a heat mat under because those heat mats are not cheap.
Yeah.
And if you could do more of them. I'm sorry I can't help you with that. I know the general recommendation with seed starting is always provide bottom heat.
Mm. Now, is there any guidance on what amount? Now, I have 2 4-foot mats and thermostats for both as to what temperature would be bottom?
Sure.
Yeah, the bottom heat temperature should be around 70 degrees.
Around 70.
And usually if you have a seedling heat mat, if you're using a heat mat that's designed for seedlings, they generally are set to be at 70 degrees.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're doing it with a thermostat, you can set it to 70 degrees yourself.
Yeah.
And one last quick thing, and light, as I understand, we're really quite close to the plants.
Yes.
The full spectrum fluorescence that I use should be right close to the seedlings, as I understand.
Right, 4 inches maximum away from the foliage. And that's where I think some people have a hard time with, especially if you're doing small-scale indoor seed starting, because if you have different seedlings of different varieties and types, species of plants, they grow at different rates. And so if you have some plants that are 6 inches tall while the other ones are only 3 inches tall, to have the lights 4 inches away from the 6-inch tall ones, they're already too far away from the 3-inch tall ones. So that 4 inches is, it's as close to that as you can get is pretty important. And I think some people do err on the side of having them too far away. And that light dissipates very quickly when it's too far away from the canopy of the seedlings.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your assistance.
Yep.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling.
I have a lot of respect for people who start seedlings indoors because I have tried it many times. I have tried to set up systems to do it with, and it takes quite a bit of effort to get your system set up so that everything works, so that the flats fit under the lighting. And one set of fluorescent lights will only accommodate a couple flats. And if you're trying to start many different varieties of things, you can only start a couple of cell packs of each one. And then you have the seedlings being at different heights. And it really is.
It's hard.
It's quite an undertaking. And I have to give people a lot of credit who do it successfully and do a good job of it. And they should be very proud of themselves.
The last time I did it, which was many years ago, I got some leggy tomatoes. I was doing it with tomatoes. I get these leggy tomatoes plants that I then put out too quickly, and they were completely white and flat day.
And then that's very common. And, you know, people talk about doing seed starting on a windowsill, and it's really not very effective for very much. There are some things like marigolds, zinnias, maybe some of the squashes and cucumbers that come up really fast.
Yeah.
As long as you don't have to keep them in that bright, sunny window for more than about 4 weeks before you put them outside, you may be able to be successful. But if you have to keep a seedling there for any longer than that, it's just not enough light, surprisingly, and the conditions are so critical.
Ron in Stoughton has something for us. Ron, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. You guys might have covered it earlier, but I missed it. But talking about the sowing and the milk cartons, is that a plastic milk carton or is that the cardboard carton, the square type? And do you leave the lid on?
Okay.
I guess I might have missed that part.
Yeah. Well, the first question, the answer is yes. You can put it in either. If you use the paper or waxed paper cartons of, like, orange juice and all that, lay it on its side and then cut one side out so you have a larger area to plant into, because you don't need to have much soil in there. And then you can cover that opening with saran wrap, or you can put the whole carton into a baggie. And don't seal the baggie completely. Put a few holes in the baggie so you can get ventilation. On the Winter Sown website, she recommends, when you're using baggies, Ziploc baggies, to put a clothespin, you know, a clamping clothespin, into one end of it so you can zip it closed but not completely, and that clothespin will help hold it open. Or you can use the clothespin at one end to kind of splay out the zipper so the whole top stays open and get better ventilation. So you have some flexibility and adjustment you can make there. She also used metal, the aluminum foil pans with the clear plastic lid that you might get a coffee cake in, or you might get the take-out, carry-out stuff in. She also used, Cool Whip containers where you would cut out the top of the lid, so there's just a little rim, and then when you sow the seeds into the Cool Whip container, put a piece of tin of saran wrap over it, then put that lid back on and poke a few holes in the saran wrap, so now you've got this clear film that allows light to penetrate down into the seeds. So be creative with it. You know, it does have to have covering, but it also needs to have venting. And it does have to have some light coming in. She also used green soda bottles, so from 7-Up or something that has a green container. You can use, it doesn't have to be perfectly clear. And milk jugs are translucent. They're not completely clear, and those work too.
And we have we linked, you know, you've been talking about this site, and we have a link on our Facebook page to that site, wintersown.org home site. If you go to the Larry Mueller Show, that's the title of our Facebook page, go to the Larry Mueller Show, you've got a link right there to that particular site. And so you don't have to memorize it.
Yeah. And it says in there that she started doing this in 2000. I think she started the organization. And one of the things this organization does, it is a nonprofit organization, and they will provide seeds to groups that are doing community projects, school projects, and not for your personal use, but for any community projects that you're doing or public projects, educational projects. And there's a form that you can complete and let them know where you're going to be planting this. You can select whether you have vegetables or flowers or both, or if you want just vegetables and tomatoes, or you just want tomatoes and peppers, and then they will send you seeds. They'll research what varieties would do best in your area and send them to you. And I believe it's a charge of like $25 for 200 seed packets.
Oh,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
So it's an interesting site.
Let's turn to Jean in Reedsburg next. Hi, Jean. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Glad to be on the show. I have no green thumb. I am no great farmer type person, but I like to grow lettuce and herbs. So I like a lot of salad. And I have found that, like your guest tonight, today, the lettuce grows really well. I gave this a try after going to a talk and hearing about this. I purchased some of those tins that you would bake a cake and has the clear plastic cover that you can just get at your grocery store and put the dirt in there and, you know, got it moist and put my seeds in, put the covers on, and I never watered them throughout the winter. I put them in a sunny area, put them in the snow, let them go.
Yeah.
And they did fabulous. It was amazing. I had lettuce all season long. My question for you is, can you grow herb seeds like that?
Some, I'm sure you can. I'm not sure which ones. Basil is one that's very popular. It's an annual. It only comes back from seed. I mean, you only grow it for 1 year. It is a little fussy. You can't sow basil real readily early in the season because of the cold soil temperatures. So
okay.
I would kind of wonder about that. They might survive it and just start to germinate later. Rosemary, I've never done rosemary from seed, so I don't know what the requirements would be. It is a Mediterranean plant.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
So its natural cycle doesn't involve any cold period.
Yeah.
So I would question rosemary. Thyme, I would think you might be able to do thyme, because it is definitely a more temperate zone. Mm. So really anything that's a temperate zone plant would be worth trying.
Okay.
Overwinter normally, if seed wouldn't overwinter or the plant wouldn't overwinter, I would question that.
You know, these aren't herbs, but Brooke posted the photo on Facebook, commented that she started this last year after hearing one of our shows, probably when you were on, and she said the things that worked best for her were Brussels sprouts and cabbage worked best along with perennials.
Really?
Yeah, she had pretty good luck with perennials, Brussels sprouts, and cabbage.
Perennials I would expect to be able to sow well. And this would be good for any open pollinated seed from any perennials. If you were to collect, like, daylily seeds from the pods, if you were to collect seeds from your perennials in your yard and try and grow them, I bet this would work pretty well with them. But I didn't have much luck with the coal crops. I'll certainly give them another try this year.
Yeah. Thanks again, Jean.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. The number, we've been talking a lot about winter sowing, but we can take other issues as well and talk about other things for sure. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Our guest today, Sharon Morrissey. Always great to have her come by. UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County. And we had Jeff emailed and said, as a runner, he's only been able to grow potted tomatoes. He'd like to do early season tomatoes this year, but wonders how early he should start them. Should he start them from seeds or seedlings? Does it matter if he gets them from a chain, or should he get them from a specific place, a local garden center? Also wonders about how to prevent blossom end rot, which is a problem a lot of times with when you've got tomatoes in pots.
Yes, it is. If you're starting tomatoes to grow outdoors in containers, if you're starting with a seedling, find the most thrifty and vigorous-looking plants you can. Purchasing them at a local garden center is certainly a fine way to go. That's how most people start their tomatoes, is with transplants that they've purchased. And if you're going to start seeds indoors, however, I think some people they start the seedlings too early indoors.
Yeah, that's what I did.
I hear that there's kind of this kind of this one of those rules of thumb from our, you know, old wives' tales sort of. You start on the on St. Patrick's Day, and that really is too early. And the reason it's too early is you have to be able to provide the right conditions for that plant indoors for quite a long time. If you start it in the middle of March, and you can't really put it outside, even with protection, you probably can't put it outside till in the southern part of the state until the beginning of May at the very earliest. And that's with using some kind of enclosure, some kind of walls of water or something to keep it from freezing and to provide the extra heat. You still are keeping that plant indoors for the entire month of April and several weeks in March. It's probably not going to benefit very much, even if you could keep it, get it out into the ground in a decent shape. It's not going to benefit much from those conditions. If you were to just start that seedling later, plant it later, you know, if you compared the two, you would probably end up with a better plant that you had started later indoors and put out a little later without all the extra rigmarole of having to provide covering and walls of water and stuff. So don't start them indoors too early. You know, you want to do it as early as you can, but select a variety that produces fruit earlier. And there are early girl, early boy. There are varieties that are early producers. So those are the ones you want to select. So start your tomato seedlings, your tomato seeds indoors in mid to late April in the southern part of the state. And then as you move up the state, you know, probably add a week at a time as you go up the state.
Mm-hmm. And I still like going to my local garden center. And you can pick out some nice, healthy plants.
Yeah.
With a broad range of, you know, varieties, and I just give them some business, and I
yeah.
wind up with good plants.
And yeah, you can start with a nice big plant for
yep.
not a lot of money.
No.
If you're trying to start them indoors, you know, you're not going to be starting just one or two plants. So depending on how many you can put in your garden, I can only get four in my garden, four or five, you know. Mm-hmm. So for me to start 20 seeds of tomatoes isn't really very effective. And then I would have to have the whole light set up. I'd have to have the heat mats and all the slats and the special seed starting mix. I'm better off buying some seedlings and picking out good ones to start with. And they do have a great selection usually at garden centers. They now carry lots of heirloom varieties. So, you know, it's worth hunting them out. And then you get to see all the other wonderful things they're growing at the selling at the garden center, too.
That's exactly right. Sharon Morrissey, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Pleased to have you with us for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller, joined by Sharon Morrissey, UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County. Always fun to have her along. Thanks for listening, and call in if you have a question or a comment or an experience to share at 1-800-642-1234. You can also post photos and questions on our Facebook page, the Facebook page titled The Larry Mueller Show, or you can also email us with a question at talk@wpr.org. And Mary in Eau Claire is up next with a comment. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a comment about starting herbs indoors.
Yeah.
Especially thyme.
Okay.
A lot of those Mediterranean herbs have teeny, teeny, tiny seeds.
Yeah.
And, well, I sold some directly in my garden. I don't know about trying indoors. But they were so tiny, they took 3 weeks to come up.
Oh, my.
The germination rate wasn't great. But I got, you know, some nice thyme plants out of it. But, you know, after that experience, it's like, I just go out and buy the thyme. And we do start most of our other garden plants, like, you know, 20-some tomatoes and peppers and all kinds of things, you know, ourselves under grow lights.
So you're good at it, but time is not...
Well, it's so thin, too, it's really prone to damping off.
Oh.
Ah. Well, one of the tricks with, or one of the, I guess, common errors that people make with teeny tiny seeds like that is that they generally don't need to be covered with soil at all. And if you do cover them with soil, it does take them longer to germinate,
mm-hmm.
and they can rot before they germinate. So with very, very tiny seeds, a moist medium that you're sowing them onto, you know, moist, loose medium, and then just kind of pat down the medium. So what, if it's in a garden, it would be work up the area, sprinkle the seed thinly, and just tamp it down with your hand. Don't then put soil on top of it. Or you can cover them with finely ground vermiculite, because vermiculite is actually layers of a transparent clay that, you know, mica,
mm-hmm.
what they used to use for, you know, isinglass and stuff, that's mica, and that actually is transparent, so light does penetrate through it. So that can help to hold moisture in if the soil tends to dry out too much. Damping off is something to, you know, to contend with when you're starting seeds, and that you can. It's helpful when you start seeds to do it in rows rather than broadcasting, because if you broadcast and you have seedlings everywhere in a block, it will hold more moisture down around the soil level, which then tends to allow the damping off fungi to grow because the moisture conditions will allow them to grow. So that's why starting seeds in rows in flats is sometimes better than broadcasting the seeds over the flat.
There we go. And Mary, thanks again. Appreciate your call. Sandra in Waterford, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you, Larry and Sharon, for your show. I was going to suggest egg cartons, either the card kind or the styrofoam kind might be a nice way to help organize. They're waterproof and easily reusable. And then if you do choose to use a Ziploc baggie, I suggest the dollar store. They're very inexpensive for many bags. You know, just go get them and zip them as you recommended earlier. And they come in the giant size as well, so you can easily get a carton of container of egg carton inside one Ziploc baggie. Now, my next question was the type of dirt, and my dad used to grow in the garden, but he'd always mix a manure. What would you recommend for starting a plant and then following up in your garden for manure? Type of dirt first that you'd want to put in there, be via potting soil, or is there garden soil? Is there some type of soil that I'd want to purchase first?
Yeah, for starting seeds, there are seed starting mixes that you can purchase, and the benefits of those are twofold. One is that the particles in it are very fine, and so you always have good seed-to-soil contact. If you have larger particles, sometimes there can be air spaces that let the seeds dry out more. So it's more finely ground, and it has vermiculite in it, again, to hold moisture but also allow some light penetration. And it's sterile, and that sterile seed-starting mix is helpful to prevent the damping off issues with seed starting.
And what brand would that be? Would you recommend? Can you recommend something?
It doesn't really matter what brand it is. I would just look for a product that is called a seed starting mix or a germination mix. And it has these characteristics. Lots of companies make them. Local companies may make them where you are, too. So if you're sowing in doing the winter sowing and you're sowing in containers, you can use the seed starting mix. It is a little bit more expensive, and it may not be as critical when you're doing it in the milk jugs,
mm-hmm.
Because you're going to have less moisture in those milk jugs and better conditions, and you're not going to have the sterility issue quite as much maybe. But it probably would be preferred to do the seed starting mix for the winter sowing. But I don't think it's as critical in those conditions. But if you're doing it under lights, you definitely should be using a seed starting mix.
And how does the egg carton idea sound when you're just starting?
Yeah, that sounds great. I've done that with kids, and they can plant different seeds in each one of the little openings, you know, and then you can, if you use the cardboard ones especially, or the paper ones, you can cut those apart and then plant the entire thing. So it's like a little peat pot. When they plant the seedling, they don't have to disturb the seedling when they go to plant it in the ground. And, I'm not sure how well it would hold up for the length of time it needs to hold up for winter sowing if it's the cardboard type.
Yeah.
Oh, you're absolutely right. With the styrofoam type, that will hold up just fine. But, again, be sure to put drainage in the bottom, poke a hole in the bottom of each one of those openings.
Take a pencil and pop it through and you're done, right?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Okay. Well, that's all I have for today. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sandra, for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, boy. Fun, isn't it? Don and Warren. Yeah, Don and Warren, Illinois. Your turn. Hi, Don.
Hi. My neighbor was an old retired farmer, and he had on the south side of his house, the soil was loam and pretty good soil. And he would dedicate a 4x4. And he planted his first time in bib lettuce, and he let it harvested as normal. And he leaves two or three plants to go to seed. And he'd weed it. And the next spring, he always had the earliest lettuce because it's self-seeded.
Yeah.
And it was so simple and so easy. And he had, when it came on, he wasn't even thinking about mowing the lawn. And he had lettuce. And it's for two or three households.
Yeah, excellent idea. It is just kind of taking advantage of what the plant does naturally. And some things do that quite well. Snapdragons is another one I always think of because they do seem to sprout from seed again the next year once they've gone to seed. They have teeny weeny little seeds. Lettuce would do that. Yeah, that's very fun.
Thanks, Don. That's a great story. Appreciate it very much. And Lois and DeForest, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I save the clear plastic containers when I buy spinach or kale at the store.
Sure.
They have the hinge on the top, and then everything is clear. And I started my spinach already in one of those containers. And the spinach has sprouted and is getting leggy. I'm wondering, can I put that out for winter sowing, or will the sprouted spinach plants?
I think the seedlings will croak.
Yeah.
I think it'll be too cold for the seedlings.
Yeah.
Because if you were to just put it out now with seed sown in it, they would not start to germinate yet.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that new seedling, I don't think, can take that. You know, if you had a hotbed, you know, a cold frame with some heat in it, you might be able to grow spinach in it outdoors right now. But I don't think you can just put that outside and have it survive. But those containers are a great idea.
Great idea.
So many containers that we get things in that can be used for gardening. And that's a great one.
Yes, and you said that you need to have some air on the top for air to get in, and then for just maybe slits in the top or pulse, whatever, and then also the drainage at the bottom.
Yes. Yep, those
there
are
you
the
go.
Two criteria.
Thank you.
You've got it.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. On Facebook, April sent us a note. She says, I know I've been saving all those jugs for something. Thank you. I love that.
I do, too, because I can really relate. You know, you just can't throw them away. You know you'll need them for something.
Oh, man. Shirley in the Coosa, thanks for calling.
Yes. I've been listening to your show here for about a month or two. And I came across something that was on Facebook, and I usually don't take that for face value, but what was on there is using cinnamon in your soil when you're starting your seed.
Yeah.
And it helps with a lot of the fungus, and I am doing it right now. I have no fungus at all.
None.
What it's doing, it is keeping a little bit of my moisture, so I only have to give them some water in the morning, and I don't have to come back and water them again until tomorrow morning.
Wow. Yeah. Well, what do you think, Sharon?
Well, there's no research basis for that, but I have heard that from people. It is something I just saw recently myself on somewhere on the Internet. And, you know, I don't know exactly what it's doing. It may work. It's helping to hold moisture in, but a lot of different things would help to hold moisture in. You could probably sprinkle some garlic or garlic powder or some, you know, anything that you would put over the soil surface would help to hold moisture in probably. So it doesn't necessarily need to be cinnamon. And I don't know if the cinnamon is changing the pH or the pH of the cinnamon is affecting the fungus, because lower pHs tend not to support the damping off fungi. That's another thing about the seed starting mixes, is that they do have a lower pH. They often have kind of ground peat moss in them, because that peat moss lowers the pH of the soil. The lower the pH, the less likely you are to have fungi. So it could be providing those two things, but it's probably a pretty expensive way to go about holding moisture in and preventing damping off. Buying a seed starting mix would probably work just as well.
So you're going to get all that in a seed starting mix is kind of already in there, and you don't have to add anything else to it.
It's already providing those conditions, right? So it depends on how expensive the cinnamon is.
Yeah, that's always something to consider. How much money are we going to spend here? But it's great to hear about it. Shirley, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Sharon Morrissey, our guest today. Sharon is UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent. She works out of Milwaukee County, comes by for Garden Talk pretty often. Always great to have her with us for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller, with my guest, Sharon Morrissey, UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County. Always a great pleasure to have her along, and certainly a pleasure to have you listening in. And if you have questions or comments or experiences to share, we've been talking a lot about winter sowing, but we've got into all range of questions with Sharon today. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@WPR.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of the page. And if you have a photo, garden photo of some sort, you can post it right there. And Sharon, we have Mark and Cashton with a question. So I want to go right there. Mark, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Good morning, guys. I had a couple of questions, and one of them was just partially answered on the news. Our ag agents, our UW Extension ag agents, I called, I had questions about gardening, and La Crosse doesn't have one, Vernon County doesn't have one, and I'm just wondering what is happening with the ag agents and UW Extension, because that's a service I've used for so many years, and it's been so fantastic. This is really hitting where it hurts.
Yeah, that's a that's the million-dollar question for us in Extension right now. Extension is in the process of restructuring, and part of that restructuring will occur within the next 5 months or so, probably by July. And there will be changes because of budget cuts from this last budget, but that on top of cuts from the last couple of years that we've been able to absorb. And now with this final large cut from the governor's budget this year, it is really making it necessary for us. We can't absorb that anymore, so it is necessary to make some changes. So keep an eye on the news. Keep an eye on local news about your own local county extension and the changes at the county level and at the state level with our state specialists. We know with our state specialists there will be a 10% decrease in state specialist funding and state specialists. We know that there will be layoffs and positions that are currently open. Some can be filled and some cannot be filled. So It's a good, great question if you really value what UW Extension has done for you in the past and what it continues to provide. I would say to certainly make your comments known and your feelings known to your local legislators. At this point, the restructuring is going forward. But get involved in the conversation and get involved with your county extension office. It's about the best I can tell you right now.
Okay. Yeah. Can I throw the question at you? I was trying to get to an ag agent.
Sure.
Yes, definitely.
I make sauerkraut every year, and I've never mixed red and white together to make sauerkraut in the same batch. Can you do that? Do you know?
I don't know. My guess would be that the red would definitely bleed over, and you'd probably turn out with some pink sauerkraut.
Okay.
Or blue. It really is not a red. The red cabbage is not really red. The pigments
more
in
blue.
There are actually purple and blue.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that would be my guess. I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
I'd try it with one, maybe one quart.
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea, Larry. Thank you. Yeah,
thanks a lot for calling. It might be kind of fun to see how it would turn out.
One year I tried to make a red meal for my family for Valentine's Day, and I wanted everything to have some red in it. So I made a meatloaf, and I put a ketchup heart on it. And then I made potatoes, and I put red food coloring in them, mashed potatoes, and put red food coloring in them. And then I got some red cabbage, and I cooked that up, and it was blue. I'll always think of that when I think of red cabbage. It really is a blue pigment.
Well, that's kind of a nice idea, and Valentine's isn't that far off.
Right.
There we go. Arnie and Cashton, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hello. I'm over 80 years old, and about 70 years ago, my mother, I'd get starting soil out of an old stump. She'd send me out to the woods and tell me to get a stump that's pretty much rotten and bring that soil back, and that's what she used to start her seeds.
Oh, my.
And she had no cost except the seed. I mean,
right.
She didn't get no soil. She didn't use no lights. And
oh,
she didn't have to buy no potting soil or anything.
Where did she start these seeds?
She put them in a wicker. She had a wicker basket or a woven basket, and she put the soil in there, and she started them and set them behind the wood cook stove.
Oh,
warm. Wood, and she sprouted them there and got them to grow, and then...
Oh,
we had kind of a porch that had three sides to it, facing the south.
Ah.
And she'd set them in the sun to harden.
Yeah, there you go. And that porch probably was pretty cool.
Yes.
No.
It wasn't enclosed, but she started them probably a little later in the spring.
Yeah.
That I don't remember for sure, you know.
Interesting.
Well, that is cool. So a stump.
That is.
The makings of, or the what's left of a stump.
Yeah, where it's rotten in the inside, just
take that out
and dig that out, and it of course it has dust and soil in there too, you know.
Yeah,
it's mixed together, and that's what you use to start her plants. And,
oh, interesting.
And it worked really good.
Well, you could see that it's decomposed organic matter, so that makes sense. It's sort of it's a compost of sorts. And so starting seed in that, it's well-drained but still holds moisture. I wonder what the pH would be. Probably lower, so it would help to keep damping off fungus away. She had the right combination of conditions and didn't have to work for it at all.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that, Arnie. You know what? There's probably going to be some people that say, you know what? I've got an old stump back there in the back 40 or in my backyard that I haven't stumped out yet. Maybe I'll try that.
But see, then they have to have the wood stove with space behind it and the porch that has no enclosures but faces south. So
yeah, that's a
and
little
basket.
That's a little bit more of a problem.
Yeah.
I've got the south facing part of it okay, but I don't have any stumps. I had some, but I got rid of them.
Now you wish you hadn't.
Yeah, I've got a fireplace.
different kind of ashes
there. Yeah. Oh, boy. Dee in Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Hi. I just have a little story about my grandmother. After my grandmother moved to town, she would work up the soil on the south side of her house in the fall, and then she would wait till the last snowfall of winter, and she would sprinkle both parsley and lettuce right on top of the snow. And every year, she had the earliest crop of parsley and lettuce in her neighborhood. Isn't that fabulous?
It's fabulous. It's perfect. And we could still do that.
I've done that in raised beds, and it works. It really works slick.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
Oh,
thank you for calling.
Yeah, that's a great story.
If you try and take advantage of those natural processes and kind of figure that out, it works.
You know, I actually did that with a piece of lawn that we were actually just starting a new lawn. And I did that and got pretty good germination.
Ah.
I just broadcast the seed over the snow.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And, waited.
And just wait. For nature to take its course.
Yeah, and it wasn't perfect, but it wasn't bad.
It's better than setting up the lights in your basement.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. We had Janet on Facebook commented, she said, we found some bulbs that we forgot about recently. Do you think winter sowing would work for some small flower bulbs if planted deep enough?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm afraid that they would start growing too soon. And I think what you just need to do is wait for the soil to be ready to be worked in the spring. So, you know, mid-May or something when the soil's warmed up a little bit. And then plant the bulbs. And plant them this spring. That happens quite a lot. We all have good intentions.
Jenny on Facebook commented, she says, I'm attempting to overwinter my hot pepper plants. They seem to be happy, but I'm struggling with aphids. I've been treating them with neem oil spray biweekly and neem oil infused water bimonthly. I even tried releasing 300 ladybugs on them. Is there any way to get rid of these pests?
Aphids?
Yeah.
Insecticidal soap.
Yeah, that's what I
do it. So she's kind of working kind of hard at that and may not need to. I would think the neem oil would be making quite a mess. It is a slimy product from my experience with it. The insecticidal soap probably would be easier. And in warm conditions, she probably would need to spray every 5 days, maybe 5 to 7 days, because the warmer it is, the shorter the generation time is for aphids. And aphids are a miraculous insect that bypasses the whole mating thing and the whole egg laying thing.
Yeah.
And they actually lay their young live bear their young live. And so they have a very short generation time. And so every 5 to 7 days, after about the third or fourth spraying, you probably should wash off the plants pretty well just to get that residue that builds up off of it and then continue to spray. You may have to do it for a while to get all the eggs under control and all the aphids under control. Not the eggs, but the aphids under control.
Karen in Amaro has a question. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I have two questions that have absolutely nothing to do with gardening, but I first found my public radio channel a couple of weeks ago, and so I've been listening to everything on it, and I was listening today. My first question is in regards to a Christmas cactus that a lady gave me about 20 years ago, and she had a beautiful little area where all her Christmas cactuses were, and I hated to take one because I knew I'd kill it. Well, it sat there. I'm not kidding you. It sat there for like about 17 years or so. It just sat there, and I never threw it out. It just sat there looking gray and gnarled and little, no matter where I put it. And then one day somebody said, I'm throwing out, and somebody said, just put it right directly in the sun. Now, I have a little house, so it was right across from the window, but I put it in the sun, and it went crazy. It's huge now, and it blossoms and everything. How would that stay dormant, like, that long?
It was just barely surviving. Or I should say it was just dying so slowly that took it 17 years, and in that time you figured out what to do to make it grow well.
No, it was after that time.
Yeah.
So in the last 3 years, it's just when, and I thought,
yeah, it's not that it was dormant. It was just hanging on by a thread.
After all those, in all those years.
Yeah.
You must have watered it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would water it and, you know, try to nurture it, talk to it and everything.
And you know, it is a cactus, but it's a forest cactus. And that's one of the reasons we can grow it indoors without a whole bunch of light is because it really is adapted to lower light conditions.
Uh-huh.
Regular cacti, desert cacti, are those that need lots of sunlight. And you know, any other cactus, a desert cactus, wouldn't have survived those conditions for 17 years.
Well, no.
I said when I finally set it in the window, right in the window, and it did something. Okay, my second question involves one of these little pine trees, you know, that you get at the... at Christmas time, they're on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mine has survived for about 15 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
How big is it?
It's about 3 foot tall.
Oh, nice.
And at least quite that big around. Mm-hmm. But I have it at the foot of my, I always would take it upstairs, outside in its pot and set it in the back under the trees. And it seemed to do well. This year, I don't know what, but it just hated it. It hated it. It turned, all its tips turned brown. It just totally defied me. So I patiently sat there and picked out all the dry tips, and I, with a thing, all the little dry needles in between, made sure I put it in the shade of the garage on the patio, and it seemed to do well, but it loves it downstairs at the foot of the stairs. Can I leave it there all year long? I mean, it'll be a little, the basement is not heated, it's not finished. It'll be, you know, I can always feel the difference when I come up the stairs and I get halfway up and it's there's where it's warm.
Or I don't think they necessarily need really, really, really warm temperatures to survive.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't have to have household temperatures to survive, but it can't stay outside, obviously. But I'm wondering when the last time you transplanted it was.
I never have.
Ah.
Oh.
There's the rub, and I believe that that's probably why the tips turn brown, because over time, the organic matter in the soil in the pot and any fertilizer that's used to water the plant or to fertilize the plant, those start to build up. They break down, but they break down and release salts, and those salts build up in the soil, and those salts actually can damage the roots if they build up too much. And so transplanting it maybe into a pot the same size or only an inch or two bigger than what it is right now, but using all fresh soil would be my recommendation. And then continue as you're going. Whatever you were doing with it before is fine. And putting it in the shade in the summer is the recommendation. Most houseplants that you're going to grow indoors in the winter and then put outside in the summer, they do better if they're grown in the shade, which is much brighter than you think it is. And then when you bring them back indoors, they're adapted to that lower light condition still, and they can still survive indoors pretty well.
Would you repot right now, Sharon?
You know, in this situation, I think you probably could. I don't think it's going to make that much difference whether it's, you know, a slow growth period or not. I'd just try to remove as much of the soil from the roots as you can.
Likely not much there anyway, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, there might not be, but if it's growing 3 feet tall and 3 feet wide, it's probably in pretty good shape and, you know, does have a decent root system. The better time to transplant would be at the end of the dormant season. Dormant, not that the plant's dormant, but when the light levels are starting to come up again late spring.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could probably do it now. Because that soil is probably really damaging the root system.
Thanks, Karen.
When I bring it downstairs,
downstairs, no light? Is that
what it's right
saying?
At the foot of the stairs, so it gets the light from the basement door, the outside door, and it's down there. But I just want to ask you now, those brown tips turning brown, does the difference in temperature when I take it up and down, does that cause the more salt to be released and then that turn brown?
No.
No.
Nope. It's just from the breakdown of organic matter in the soil and the fertilizer products in the soil. And when you water it, you should allow water to run through it, but don't let it sit in the water that runs through it and soak that water back up, because the salts come out in the water. And then if it gets soaked back up, you're just concentrating the salts in the soil.
There you go. Thanks, Karen, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's give Jim in Wausau a chance. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I got a suggestion for you with some of the herbs.
Okay.
Rosemary makes a very nice houseplant, and it also is very easy to root in water.
So it roots well.
Your own little plants, yeah.
Huh.
And we bring basil plants in fall.
Yeah.
And we have basil plant. We have basil all winter long.
Oh,
and
nice.
We take cuttings in spring, and we put some new basil plants in, but we also have cuttings that would go back out in the garden.
Oh,
kind
so
of the same thing.
You must have a really bright light, a good window for these to grow in, or do you provide supplemental light?
No supplemental light. It's okay. Sunroom on the house.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Very good. And the cuttings of basil, that's interesting. I've never tried that.
Oh, it roots really easy.
Oh, nice. And same thing with rosemary. I'm going to have to try that.
Okay.
Very
all right.
Good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jim, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call very much. We had Chris and Slinger emailed and just commented that winter sowing works well for flowers that need the cold and maybe forgot to sow them last fall, like coneflowers.
Ah.
That's probably not a bad idea. And then we had Kevin... has a great tutorial on winter sowing, what to sow and when. Kevin had a garden for the house site. Garden for the house?
Huh.
He's a zone 5, so very adaptable to 3 and 4, or somewhat adaptable anyway. And then we had Chris from Wisconsin Dells wondering about quinoa. Can you grow? We got about a minute to talk about growing quinoa, maybe.
Well, it's going to be faster. We'll have extra time because I don't know the first thing about growing quinoa. It's a grain, so it's seed from something, from a quinoa plant.
I don't know
anything more than that.
I honestly haven't. We've never talked about it. And
I have to look it up.
And the other thing, a listener called and says she puts the seeds and dirt on dried eggshells in the egg cartons, and then puts the whole carton in a plastic container. This is for the winter sowing. And then they plant the shell with the seedling, and they get hoping for a calcium boost.
Ah, well, possibly, as long as that shell. I don't know how long it takes for the shell to break down and release the calcium. And the only thing that really needs the calcium is tomatoes, mostly. Our soils generally have enough calcium, so we don't have to supplement, except in the case of tomatoes and blossom end rot. And really with blossom end rot, the issue there is not that there isn't enough calcium in the soil, it's that that calcium has to get all the way up through the plant and all the way out to the farthest end of the tomato. And so you need to water thoroughly and regularly and not let it go dry and then wet and then dry and then wet. You have to keep that water moving through the plant to move the calcium.
Yeah, and that's why it's often you get blossom end rot in pots, potted tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure, Sharon. Thank you so much. I hope you'll come back and be with us again soon.
Oh, it's my pleasure, too. You have great callers and always fun things to talk about.
Absolutely. Sharon Morrissey, our guest, UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County. Always does a wonderful job. And, of course, we'll have her back, and we will talk with her again. And just to remind you, we have Neil DeBole coming by next week for Garden Talk. He'll be visiting about native gardening and certainly planning and maintaining those native gardens. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Monday, we'll be talking personal computer questions here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, but lots in store for the afternoon. Stay with us.